This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hindsight doesn't help you on Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Last week would have been a really good time to buy stock in Gateway Computers. Yesterday, Gateway announced it's being bought by a Taiwanese company called Acer. Gateway share shot up 50%. The new company will be the world's third largest computer maker behind Hewlett-Packard and Dell. Gateway is based in Irvine, California, but it started in an Iowa farmhouse way back in 1985. As for the rest of Wall Street, yesterday was a downer. The Dow lost 56 points to 13,322. The Nasdaq fell 15. The S&P 500 dropped 12. The Asian market slid a fraction today. European shares are down close to 1% so far. You ever notice how airlines pad their departure and arrival times so it appears they're still on schedule? They know there will be delays. Just too many planes in the sky now. But the FAA does have a plan to make things more efficient. This week, it began awarding contracts for a new air traffic control system. It just won't come cheap. Here's John Dimsdale.
The new system uses global positioning satellites for a much more accurate reading of where planes are. They can fly closer to each other, saving time, fuel, and pollution. The $15 billion price tag will be built into future ticket prices, although the airlines think the growing number of business jets should pick up more of the tab. John Meenan is with the Air Transport Association.
The business aviation community, which now constitutes 17% of the cost of the system, is only paying about 7 or 8%. We want to pay our share, but we think others ought to pay their share, too.
And for all its cost, airline business consultant Daryl Jenkins says the new air traffic equipment will do nothing to create more gates at the airport.
As long as we have airlines who all want to fly at the same time, we're going to have delays at airports.
The new and improved air traffic control system should be phased in over the next 12 years. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Some Americans travel abroad to get medical procedures done. They actually call it medical tourism. One place they're going, without telling anyone, is Cuba. Helen Palmer reports from our health desk at WGBH.
Sam is 63, a self-employed carpenter who can't afford health insurance. He hurt his shoulder and is heading to Havana for surgery to get it fixed.
Here in the States, it would run from $12,000 to $20,000. Over there, it runs about $4,000 plus my airfare.
Sam will save $6,000 and get a vacation. Because of the U.S. embargo, he's flying via Canada. He knows he's breaking the law but hopes his government would understand. But Stan Marcus, international trade lawyer at Brian Cave, says Sam could face tough penalties.
The fines can amount to tens of thousands of dollars. The imprisonment can be involved many years in jail.
Marcus doubts the U.S. government would be sympathetic. It enforces the embargo vigorously. Cuba could be an inviting destination for health tourists, he says, but not without regime change there. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, it'll be 2 years since Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans. The city is still a shadow of what it once was. Basic things most of us take for granted seem like luxuries in New Orleans. Things like sewer service.
Recently, when we had a forecast of coming rain, I went outside my house and I had to pry open my own drain on my street because the city doesn't provide those basic services that people need. So in order for me to have a street that would clear where the rain wouldn't flood my home, I needed to pry up, you know, a 100-pound sewer grate and get into the sewers myself.
Billy Southern has lived in New Orleans for 6 years. He's just written a book about what life has been like the past 2 years. Billy, you were telling me several stories like this. Where is the government? What's the problem?
I think the local government alternates between total incompetence and utter and complete corruption. And I think that degrades our sense that government can be there to help us, because for so long they've failed us. And then on the national level, we have people running government who are cynical about its capacity to do anything for us. But the problem is that our problems are too big for anything else to address these issues.
So what about the business community in New Orleans? Is the business community helping out?
I'm originally from New York, which has a sort of a dynamic and powerful business community. So by contrast, it's always seemed to me that the New Orleans business community was sort of anemic at best. The economy is so exclusively focused on tourism, so we don't have the same, you know, massive corporations that can lend a big helping hand that places like New York or Los Angeles or San Francisco might.
Right.
I think that in the end, the real can-do spirit has come from individuals who've taken the initiatives themselves to rebuild their homes and to rebuild their communities.
Billy, based on what you've seen over the last couple of years, you know, New Orleans kind of had to start over. What do you think has worked and not worked?
It's very difficult to look across New Orleans and find many things to give us reason for optimism. One of the most discouraging things has been the lack of real consistent federal funds for individuals to rebuild their homes, where everyone who wants to rebuild, who can afford to rebuild, is left to do so without any real promise about the future of their investments, and where there's a real distinct possibility that in a few years they still won't have any neighbors, nor will they have garbage service, nor will they have 911.
Well, Billy, you've lived in New Orleans now for about 6 years. How long do you think you can live in that city with the way it is, having to, you know, dig up your own sewers?
About New Orleans, I have the fervor of a convert. I have no intention of leaving New Orleans, and I have every intention of doing everything I can to try to push that the recovery happens here to make this a more just and safer city for the people who live here. The streets remain so unsafe that people don't leave their homes at night. But I think from my perspective and the perspective of the people who live here who are dedicated to the city, we're not going to let things like that drive us out. We're going to insist on a better, safer, more just city.
All right. Billy Southern. His book is called Down in New Orleans, Reflections from a Drowned City. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.